Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Bikini and the Brain. I am here with my lovely co-host, Ashley Kottwasser, and we are here with a special guest, Phoebe Hagen.
Hello.
All the way from the, not UK anymore, Dubai.
Okay, so yeah, I'm from the UK, but I now live in Dubai.
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
Long trip. And she came just for this podcast, for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only reason why she came, so you guys better feel special right now. That's a long trip for a podcast.
Should have just done Zoom.
Yeah, I know. I actually did surprise Adam, to be fair. He didn't actually have a clue I was even coming. Yeah. So it was a surprise.
It was a surprise. And then also, Phoebe is the owner of the Posing Portal, which is an awesome posing website for anyone who's needing posing help, from low budgets all the way to one-on-ones all the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, awesome topic for today. Ashley?
We are going to go over the similarities and the differences between two pro bikini competitors, because we've done this before with figure, we've done this with wellness, now it's time to do it with one of my own.
Yeah.
Fellow bikini competitor, we both won pro shows, so Phoebe's legit, she's legit. We look very different, we're built very differently, but has still been able to find some success in the sport, and I think it's kind of cool to see what about us makes us pro, similarities, differences, and, you know, maybe somebody out there can relate to at least one of our physiques. If they don't look like me, maybe they look like Phoebe, and vice versa. So you don't want to miss this one.
So today I have a super special, amazing, epic, legendary, the one, the only, Phoebe Hagen.
Thank you. That was a really nice intro. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. And Phoebe here is my teammate, Team Elite Physique in the house. And she's also a bikini pro.
Yes,
she is. And she has won a pro show in the past, the Patriots in 2019.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know we're going to get another W this year.
Yes,
I know you are. But the whole topic of today's video is I would love to sit down, have a conversation with you about your training, your diet, your way of doing things as another bikini competitor. Because although we're both in the same division, we're both pro bikini competitors, we've both won a show, our structure is different, our diets are different, our training is different. Mm-hmm. So we're very different, although the same division.
Yeah, I think that's good because this is something I think is very important, because I think a lot of people think that bikini girls are all the same, you know? There's always this stigma of like, bikini girls just do loads of dieting and cardio and that's all they do. But actually, everyone's so, so different, you know? So I think this is a very important conversation to have.
Yes, so let's start with the basics, Phoebe. Mm-hmm. You are currently off season right now.
Yes.
And I am very much in season. And I just kind of wanted to put this out there as well. This video is not to be like, oh, whose physique is better, mine or yours? It's not, not what that's about, guys. So don't get that impression. I just want to show you there's some similarities and differences between us competitors. Now, what is your height?
So I am 5'9". Okay. I'm not too sure that is in centimeters. I think that's around 172 centimeters or something like that. So I'm one of the taller bikini girls, if I'm honest. Like, I remember, like, every time I go on stage, I'm always one of the ones that's quite obviously very taller than everyone else in the lineup. It's kind of nice being taller.
You stand out more as a taller bikini competitor. In comparison to me, I would say I'm like the average height of a bikini competitor. Yeah. I'm 5'5", so I feel like a lot of people are my same height.
Yeah,
a lot of girls are my height.
I agree with that. Yeah, there's you'd be surprised, there's a lot of bikini competitors that are good 5'2", and I'm like, damn, you're small. Small little girls, but.
So, Phoebe, if you don't mind sharing with us, I know you're off season right now, like I mentioned. What is your in-season weight and what is your off-season weight?
So currently at the moment, I am around 73 kilos, which I think is around, you do pounds.
So yes, I'm like, I don't know what kilos is.
Don't know what that is. So I think that's around 158 to 160 pounds, which is quite on the heavier side. And like obviously you said, I'm quite tall bikini girl anyway. So my weight usually is quite higher. And my in-season weight, so when
your
I'm
stage
on
weight,
stage,
yes.
Yeah, stage weight is around 60 to 61 kilos, which, if I'm honest, I'm not too sure what that is in pounds. I think that's around 40-ish pounds.
Okay. Around, we'll have to double check that and put it on the screen.
Yeah, we'll put it on the screen. I'm like, I'm not too sure. I work in kilos. For
Sounds
the
about right, day. Though. Yeah. And then for me, I will say off season, I'm usually like 130 in my most off of off seasons.
Yeah.
And then in season, I'm like 120, 121-ish, sometimes 122, somewhere in that range. So I think that kind of in comparison to our height, it's probably about similar.
Makes sense. Yeah.
I will say though, it appears to me that you are a more muscular bikini competitor, in my opinion, I guess in comparison to me. Do you by chance know your measurements when you're on stage? Like, let's say you're about to compete. Do you know your measurements?
I'd say my inch is right now for my waist measurement is 25 and a half inches for
and this
my
is
waist.
Right now?
Yeah.
This is dang. Yeah. She's off season. 25. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Is it? Okay. That's not too bad.
I mean, for like being very off season and being taller, that is really good.
Yeah. I'm happy with that, to be fair. Because in previous years before working with Team Elite Physique and stuff and like understanding like waist training and vacuuming and all that type of thing, I was a lot wider in the waist. So it's kind of nice now that I've obviously improved that. And then in season, like really close to stage, I'm around, I think last year I was the smallest I'd been, which was about 22 and a half inches. Ooh. So it's small. Like that was probably the smallest I've ever been. And I was really focusing on keeping the weights nice and tight and stuff. Which
Dang,
is good.
Girl. You've got a crazy taper, so, though. I will say you've got a crazy taper.
Thank you.
And then for me, honestly, my off-season measurements, I should track them more than I do, but I don't. I want to say off-season, my waist is probably about the same as yours. And when I'm stage, it's probably the same as yours.
Really?
Which means that, like, your taper must be a lot crazier than mine because you're taller.
Your waist, every time when I see you on stage and stuff, I'm always like, oh my God, your waist is incredible.
I don't know. I think it's you're blind because you don't see yourself the way I see yourself. But you've got it going on, girl. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
So do you have any athletic background before this sport? Do you have any previous experience in, I don't know, track or gymnastics, anything?
So I do have, I actually did gymnastics for, like, not as long as a lot of people, but around 3 years or so when I was younger. And then I actually got into cheerleading.
Okay.
So I did that for 8 years, and I'm from the UK, so it was coming, we came over to the US and did a show, and that's quite a big deal in the, like, cheerleading world. And we did really well in that, and it was quite good. And I was a back spot, so I was lifting up all the other people. So I generally feel that's what actually helped me develop my upper body quite a large amount in recent years and stuff. So, yeah, that's what I
did. And I can also imagine, like, body awareness when you're posing as well, knowing which, like, body parts to move.
Because
you can definitely tell sometimes the girls that haven't had, like, experience with sports or dance or anything like that, they are a little more unsure of which body parts to move.
Yeah, 100%.
So, no, you're like the best poser I know.
Making me blush. That's really sweet. Thank you.
And my athletic background is I also was in gymnastics as a child, but mostly I was track. So I ran track high school throughout college.
Yeah.
I ran 400 meter hurdles. So that's one loop with hurdles. It was a tough race.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I've seen pictures of it before. With blonde hair? Is it blonde
hair? I bleached my hair blonde.
I think when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, is that Ashley? Because you just never expect it. So,
I know. Yeah. It wasn't my best look up. But, I'd like to thank track for my hamstrings.
Oh, yeah. But 100%.
Also, like, hard work, how to work hard. Because to me, this is like, very similar. Like, I've been training hard my whole life, thanks to track, you know, doing 2 days and stuff. So to me, this is like nothing new to me.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it definitely builds up, especially when having that kind of athletic background, it builds up your mindset to be like, okay, I want to work towards this. So you got to put in the hard work. It's the same with cheerleading. I did 4 days a week at one point. We were working towards big shows and stuff. So you have to be on it and you have to do hours and hours of work. And it's the same with track and same with bodybuilding. So I think it creates that mindset that you need for this sport.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. All right, so now let's move on to like the juicy stuff, all right? The juicies. So our diets, they've got to be quite different.
Yeah.
I myself, I like to stay very, very close to stage lean almost all year round because I like to extend my in-season very long. Like, I like to go all year, compete all the time. But I know that's not the case with most people. So for me right now, obviously it changes every single week depending on how I look and how close I am to a show. I want to say, like, on average, my in-season caloric intake would be around 1,500 calories. Mm-hmm. And off-season would be, like, 1,800 to 2,000 sometimes. Mm-hmm. But for you, what does your calorie intake look like?
So I think it's kind of varied over the years. As of now, at the moment, obviously being in off season, I'm currently on around 2,500, just because I really want to build up.
2,500.
2,500, okay. Yes. So I want to make sure that I have a good amount of calories before I go into dieting phase. And I think that's important to kind of do when, you know, dieting, working hard, there's certain points where we're going to have to keep cutting calories. And the way that I look at it is you need to have as many tools as you can before you start prep. So it's almost like you build, you kind of chip away. And if you start with nothing, you'll end up with nothing, you know?
Absolutely.
So I think it's really important to kind of build that up. And sometimes obviously gonna add a bit more extra body fat, which is good for hormonal purposes and stuff. Sometimes we all add a little bit more body fat than we needed or that we want. Mm-hmm. And I feel that at the moment for me. So I am gonna start kind of like cutting things down a little bit. Kind of tracking things a little bit more and then start to go into like a dieting phase for prep and stuff recently and stuff. But yeah, so that's what I'm at the moment. And then I would say last year, my diet got quite low. I won't lie. So I did get around, for 1,500 calories for me is quite low.
Yeah.
Being taller and stuff like that. So that's actually the lowest we got to last year. But my cardio was only around 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. So 40 minutes, yeah, a day, I think so. So, yeah, it wasn't too low because I've heard people obviously be on more cardio, less food. So, I thought that was quite good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of what my season was like last year. That's why I wanted to push up calories a little bit higher this year. So then, you know, not hopefully go as low, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think, see, here's our first little difference. Well, yeah. Major difference. So my mentality is like, I'm almost afraid to go too high calorie, right?
Really?
Because I feel like for me, it's so hard to cut that my body just likes being leaner and I'm able to maintain leaner. So I never like to jump my calories up too high. That's why you'll see, like, even in the off season, I look pretty lean still. Yeah. So I'm almost like there's a part of me that's like afraid to like go out of that zone, but also a part of me that's like, well, I already feel fine here. It's not like I'm, you know, needing to make such huge
differences. No.
And I guess for me, it's like, I did take that 1 year off in 2017, and ever since then, I got so, like, traumatized.
Yeah, oh, God, really?
So, like, yeah, and I was like, ever since that time, I'm like, I will never let myself go beyond 10 pounds of weight again. So, like, you know, but I will say I feel happy in, like, doing it, like, that way, whereas, like...
This is the main thing to remember.
Yes.
Like, as long as you're hormonally good, you are happy to be at this weight, then that's all that matters. I think there's very much a big stigma of you have to stay within a weight or you can't go above a weight or you have to go above a weight. Like, do you know what I mean? I think it's great in our community at the moment, in the bodybuilding world, that there's so many different, you know, coaches, ways of going in and out of things now. But I think it's difficult because there's so much differences sometimes. It's good because there's a lot of knowledge, but it's hard because there's someone's too much knowledge.
Absolutely. You know? And I think it goes to tell you as well, like, on an individual basis, how much can your body handle?
Yeah.
Some people, their body doesn't like being so lean for so long. But for me, maybe it is my athletic background. I'm fine. And this might be a little TMI for you guys. I've never missed a period. So people out there that says, you can't stay lean too long. You'll lose your period. I've never missed one.
Yeah.
Which, for the better or for worse, I kind of don't want one, but whatever. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I'm very aware of my health and I get everything checked and everything's healthy. So
yeah, that's the main thing.
I guess, you know, my mentality is good. My health is good. So I just kind of stay in my little lean range.
Yeah.
But,
and that's what works for you.
Yes.
And that's the main thing. Like, that's good. You and Adam have worked together for a long time and you've done so many shows now that you know how your body works and what works for you. And that works, which I think is great. And for me, what works for me is obviously going just slightly higher body fat percentage and then coming down. Because I always know that when we've come down for shows and stuff, I know we start to kind of like, once we start to diet, it all starts to come off quite quickly, which is quite nice. And I'm kind of, I guess, lucky in that sense. So, but yeah, I think that's what works for me. And I enjoy that. And I think it's good that we have differences and stuff.
Yeah. And even for me, it is not that easy to like Because I think for me, since I stay in that lean range, I can stay at 95% all year round. But to get to that 100%,
it's hard.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
So hard. So, like, for me, it's like, if I cut my calories down or whatever, it doesn't fall off as quickly as yours probably.
Because the differences won't be that vast. Because stay in, like, quite lean anyway. Mm-hmm. You won't see the changes, like, happen, like, straight away.
Right.
There'll be, like, all of a sudden a week where, like, oh, change. Yeah. And, like, instead of it being, like, a weekly change.
Very gradual, right? So, yeah, I mean,
I guess that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think both sides have pluses and minuses. And, I mean, I'm happy the way I do it. You're happy the way you do it.
That's
as long
the main
as
thing.
The end result is still good.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, exactly. That's the main thing. And I think that's what people forget. They think, oh, you shouldn't do that. You need to do it this way. And they forget, like, that works for that person. So just let them, you know, do it their way.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Good stuff. So, Phoebe, let's talk a little bit about the training aspects here. I know we've probably got to train differently. And even I know other bikini competitors that train totally different than me. Some girls are all about lifting heavy, going 100%, you know. Others are more like, oh, let me do light weights for a lot of reps. And, you know, I think people don't realize bikini competitors don't have to necessarily train every body part, especially for they're already there, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you have a few body parts that's like, oh, already developed.
Yeah.
I don't want to train it anymore. So for me, that would be abs. I do not train abs. I haven't trained abs in years because they're already there. Once I get lean enough, they're crispy, and I don't want them any more developed than they already are. Yeah. So for me, I avoid training abs. Now, do you have any body parts that you avoid training as a bikini competitor?
Yeah, so for me, it's a little bit more of my back, and I'd say shoulders a little bit more now. So when I started working with Adam, I was very much that mentality, like, train heavy, lift hard. And I still do love that style of training, but I kind of, this was me freshly coming into the pro league. I'd done a season, obviously, with a different coach before coming to Adam. And obviously the reason I came to Adam was because he's had so many successful, you know, people like you, and he has so much knowledge. So when I came to him, it was a big shock and changes and stuff like that for my training and stuff. So we actually started to decrease my upper body training a lot because I had a very, very developed back. What a lot of people probably won't know is that bikini competitors in the UK and Europe used to actually have to show their back.
Oh, with the hair to
With the hair to the side. So that's why I had such a developed upper body, because that's what
you
the criteria
to.
Was.
You had to show it.
That was the criteria at the time. So obviously coming to Adam, coming into the pro league, that was different. So we trained that, or we decreased that a lot, back and shoulders. And we still kind of have now, because I feel that's genetically, I'm upper body a bit dominant anyway. So I don't feel like I need to push very heavy on it. But I still do like to train a good amount on my upper body. But yeah, those are the main parts, is my back and my shoulders, just not too much. I still obviously train them, but not as much as I used to.
Right. That's kind of the same way for me. Like sometimes my legs can overpower my upper body.
Yeah.
My upper body, I really have a hard time keeping the muscle there.
Yeah.
So the lower body, sometimes I'll have to back off it a little bit, just be like, okay, I'm just doing some isolation glute exercises, but try not to target the hamstrings because they can very easily just kind of overpower things.
Yeah.
So, you know, in bikini, it's about balance. You got to have that upper 100%. Body match your lower body. So in order to do that, you kind of have to back off some muscles and give more attention to the others.
Yeah, 100%.
So tell me what a typical training split would look like for Phoebe.
So at the moment, obviously being off season, I train my lower body 3 times a week and then my upper body twice a week. And my upper body split will kind of be obviously main, like, shoulders, a little bit of back, with probably like a little bit of hamstrings and stuff in like back session, kind of like a push session. And then lower body is going to be focused on hamstrings, glutes, a little bit of quad now, because I can see a little bit more. They're wanting a little bit more quad development in the bikini category. So that's something I want to make sure that I have. And stuff like that. So that's pretty much what I'm working with. And then we'll kind of see, because it's so, obviously because the criteria is always changing. So I think last year my in-season training is going to be different to this year's, for sure.
So within your training splits, now right now since you're off-season, I'm assuming you're not doing much cardio, if any at all. And in comparison to in-season, what's the difference
So I obviously, as you know, Adam likes to do HIIT cardio and stuff. Yes. So like for me, that I kind of enjoy that, if I'm honest. I do really like pushing myself, especially in off season. You have the energy to be able to push like a little bit harder. So it's nice to be able to kind of like just go for it and HIIT. So at the moment I'm doing 15 minutes of HIIT cardio 3 times a week. So nothing at all, if I'm honest. And I think it's good to have cardiovascular, you know, cardio in your off season.
Yes.
To kind of just keep you, you know, healthy and
yes.
happy and stuff like that. It's good for the heart as mm-hmm. well. So it's always good to just keep moving and stuff, because I think a lot of people kind of think, you know, not going to do anything in off season, not yeah. going to move, not going to do anything. And that's when they get, I get lethargic when I don't move as much.
I agree.
I feel like it's nice to kind of like move around and stuff in off season. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got that. And then comparison to my in season, I would say that I switched to steady state a little bit more because of joint purposes, and like I know I can't give my all to a HIIT workout, and fatigue and stuff like that is a lot bigger in when I'm in prep. So I think I'd say about around maybe 8 weeks out, I start to then switch to steady state. And I'd say I go from anything 20 minutes to the most I've ever done with Adam is around 50 minutes of cardio. And that's about it. So we never know. We might do more this year. But
right.
We, yeah.
It always changes.
Always changes, yeah.
Every prep is different. And that's important to know. It's just because like I'm doing this amount of cardio for this prep doesn't mean it's going to be for the next. So for me, I would say I do more cardio than you. But I've been doing like Orange Theory classes for my cardio.
That's cool. What are they? I don't know what that is.
It's like basically circuit style training, but with cardio in there. So we'll do 20 minutes of treadmill, 20 minutes of row, and then 20 minutes of like lightweight / plyos.
Nice.
So it's always something different, but it's just, it keeps me like entertained.
That's fun.
Because you can easily get so bored with like the treadmill.
I'm not gonna lie, that's probably my worst thing when I'm in prep. It's like when I do my cardio, I'm like, God, when is this over now?
Yeah.
A little bit boring, so.
Totally. So I found that's super helpful for me. And I would say as I'm preparing for a show, it is not unlikely for me to do 6 days of cardio a week, either an Orange Theory class or let's say 40 minutes of a like an elliptical or whatever. Mm-hmm. However, if I am in the scenario of, okay, I prepped for a show, I'm going to do other shows, but my body's, it's here. I just got to maintain. So at this point, like I am right now, I'm maintaining. I don't need to get leaner. I just came off a show. Yeah. I'm trying to keep my muscle, just focusing on lifts right now, basically. Mm-hmm. So for me, my cardio is very, very minimal because I'm already there. I just got to maintain and especially watch the diet. But more about the lifts right now to keep that muscle. I found in the last show, I definitely went a little flat. So that's what happens when you do so many shows.
Exactly, yeah, 100%.
So I've got to keep these muscles nice and juicy, keep them nice and pumped so I don't lose my bubble.
Yeah.
But for me, a typical training split, it doesn't, as far as which muscle groups I train, it's kind of similar in the in-season and off-season. Honestly, it's mostly just like shoulders, glutes,
yeah.
But with some back and then also with some legs at some point.
Yeah.
But when I do lower body, the focus is on my glutes just because my hamstrings are where they need to be.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too thick. Just like I said, I definitely more dominate my lower body. And then when I'm doing upper body, I'm doing mostly shoulders, but some back as well, just to keep a good taper going on. But for me, my lagging body part is my shoulders. So I definitely got to give a lot of attention to those shoulders. So like 3 times a week, I'll do shoulders.
Nice.
2 times a week, I'll do like glutes/legs. 1 time a week, I'll do back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as bicep, tricep, honestly, I don't do too much of that because I get that with back and other things like even Orange Theory and kind of getting it a little bit. But if I'm having like a day where I'm like, oh, you know, I already got in all my lifts for the week, but I have like extra energy, I'll occasionally do like biceps and triceps.
Yeah.
But I think we can both say as bikini competitors, I don't train pecs though.
No, I never have. I think a lot of people think like, let's train, like you said, train everything.
Everything, like a bodybuilder.
Yes, exactly that. And I think it's kind of cool sometimes, like I used to train, I used to be like, I'd like to know how much I can lift on, you know, the main compound lifts like bench, squat, and deadlift. I don't have that mentality anymore because it's not needed for getting ready for a show. Obviously, if you're wanting to go into powerlifting or focusing on strength, maybe in off season to kind of keep it interesting, fair enough. But those types of lifts aren't always 100% needed in the bikini category. So it's just a case of focusing on what's needed, I think.
Yes.
That's a mentality I think a lot of people need to adapt to. And that's what I definitely had to try and do when I came over to Adam and stuff like that.
So I don't know if you share the same mentality as me on this part of it, but going along the lines of what you said, we're not powerlifters, we're physique athletes. I also would even take it a step further, and I'm speaking for myself here. As far as like how heavy do I go? I always say I go as heavy as possible until my form suffers, because I feel like there's a lot of ego lifting going on. You know, you see the girls on the Instagram just like doing hip thrusts with like plates on plates on plates, and it's impressive, right? They can do three reps and then it gets really sloppy. But for me, I'd rather go with a lighter weight that I can get a good rep range in, like maybe 10 to 12, but they're clean, they're precise, and I'm really concentrating on my form, because if we go a little heavier and if we go, if we start training like as heavy as possible, right? And we're training like a power lifter, sometimes our form isn't the prettiest. And in this sport, we're trying to focus on the muscles that we're targeting. We're not just throwing around weights, right?
I do. I 100% agree with that. And I think, like I said, back in the day, I definitely used to be one of those where I used to just, you know, load up the weight as heavy as I could. And I'd try and get like six reps or to eight reps or whatever. And sometimes the first few would be okay. And the last few would not be okay. So it's kind of like you live and learn. And I think it's good that people are kind of, I guess, going through that phase to then learn about what is important within training or as a thing. But I do agree with lifting heavy and trying to, obviously, because that's a great way to build muscle. But as long as you're keeping your form good, making sure that you're not injuring yourself, because that's the main thing. You don't want to put yourself out for then not even being able to compete. That's the worst thing. And I think that's what a lot of people tend to do sometimes in off season. They think, right, let's focus on strength now, push as hard as they can. They'll push too hard maybe, and like, obviously get injured, touch wood, obviously not, they don't, you don't want to do that, but obviously it sometimes happens. So you just got to be careful in all aspects, in season and off season, I think.
Absolutely. And when I say like I go lower in weights to concentrate on my form, that does not mean like it's easy.
Oh God,
that means
no.
I go as much as I can for 10 reps clean, you know, and then to the point where it's like, okay, my form is not looking great right now. That's when I'll have to lower the weights. But yeah, I think it's also important, not even just the injury prevention side of it, but just think about like what muscles are we trying to target with this specific exercise? And I think sometimes when we're getting a little sloppy, then other muscles start to take over. For example, we're doing like lateral raises and you can tell, okay, they're getting too heavy. So then you start to swing. And then you're engaging your traps. And
exactly.
I mean, I don't want to engage my traps.
No, 100%. Exactly. No one wants traps for a bikini. I think that's very important, because I think a lot of people do think like, you know, you want to push your limits as hard as you can, but there are obviously a line that you don't want to cross either. So yeah, I think that's important to understand.
Absolutely. Okay, so another thing I would like to ask you about is, as far as your competition season, us being two different athletes, what is your mindset when it comes to doing shows per year? Do you, are you more of the person who picks maybe two shows to do and make sure you prep for a long time to make sure you're ready for those two shows? Or are you like me that I like to do show and then another show until I can't no more? I'll keep going. I've already done five. I'm going to do more. I'm just getting started.
Yeah, so it's technically like one a month you had so far. So in May, so like five. So yeah. But yeah, I do have the same mentality as you. I think the last 2 years, I have done a very large amount of shows. Well, obviously 2020 kind of didn't count because I couldn't really get to any shows. So I actually only ended up doing two, because those are the only ones in Europe that I could do. But the year prior to that, 2019, I ended up doing eight, because I wanted to try and qualify for the Olympia. And that's when I won the Patriot show, which is quite cool, which is amazing. And then, but yeah, I do have the mentality of, I will keep going until I get what I, you know, want, until I kind of burn out and think, you know, let's stop, regroup and come back next year. You know what I mean? So for me, in 2019, I did eight shows and I was trying to get that 2019 Olympia invite. And it was very hard with the point system. It was really, really hard. So we were trying, I was going and going and going, and I was very, very close. And then we said, you know what, let's regroup, go for next year, and then COVID hit.
So, of course.
So yeah, and then again, very close again in 2020, and then again, we're going to try for this year and stuff as well. So
yeah.
I do have that mentality of go, 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 because I want, you know, we want to succeed in what we want to try and, you know, get. And I think that's what the mentality is we need in bodybuilding. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And then,
hey guys, so I wanted to go into when we're first starting off with these bikini structures is going into, okay, why do they do good in bikini? What's the best division for you? Can all structures do good in bikini? What's the differences, right? So I think this is one of the things that we need to talk to, like be very like realistic about too, is because I've had it happen a few times to me where someone's like, oh, I got a wide waist, so I'm gonna do women's physique, right? And I'm like, no, a wide waist doesn't do good in any division. There's no division for wide waist. Small waist is always going to be a benefit, right? So that's one thing to consider. So maybe you start doing things like doing more vacuums and focusing on exercises that don't build out your obliques and eating in a way where you're not having, you know, a lot of distension in your with your food, and you can like work on bringing your waist down versus just picking a division that you think would be better for your waistline. So I think that that's important that we go into structure and potential and what is good for bikini, what is good for figure, whatever. So the reason that, and I like having you two here because it's such a different structure.
Very different.
But such both very high level competitors, mm-hmm. You know, we're not talking about, you know, just a bikini girls who just squeezed by and got a pro card. These girls have both won pro shows, both consistently placing in that upper tier in shows. So, but they're vastly different. You know, if you look at their structure, their joints, everything's totally different. They're put together totally different, but they both do good. And you're like, how does that happen if that's not the criteria for bikini? Well, the criteria for bikini isn't a structure. The criteria for bikini is a look, right? So, and I think a lot of the important things to think about when you're looking at bikini is, okay, what is similar and consistent through all the bikini division competitors, even though they're so different? And what the consistent thing is between all of them is their ratios, their balance, their symmetry, just the lines they have. We call lines are basically like the outline of their body, like that's their lines, you want to call it. So both of them have good shoulder width. Phoebe would win in the shoulder width department. The clavicle base is larger, so she comes out more. So that's something that Ashley works on, is getting wider, you know, wider on
that
the shoulder
means
width.
I have to build more up here, whereas she's more genetically gifted up top, so I have to fake that width by kind of building, and she doesn't have to do as much on the upper body part.
Yeah. And that's one of the cool things about like having a really good posing coach with their really good posing coaches is that, you know, Ashley might pose bigger up top when she's in her poses to make the ratios appear perfectly balanced and to the criteria. And that's a lot of what goes into posing, is basically showing your best to be their best and hiding your worst to be less than your worst, right? So it's like you're always trying to kind of, posing is really interesting because you're creating the illusion of perfect balance, right? So Ashley's going to create the illusion of bigger shoulders, posing up top, taller. You'll see her more squared off in her poses. And where Phoebe, you know, at times maybe she's got too much shoulder, maybe she'll hide it a little bit, you know. So
I also have to pump up way more than Phoebe probably does, right? Yeah. Backstage, I'm pumping up.
Adam's always
shoulders.
Like, don't touch her shoulders.
Yep. I'm like, oh, I'm getting a full workout before I get on stage.
So like that's an important thing. And how do you control the balance based on your perfect example? How do you control the balance between two vastly different structures? One, you pump shoulders backstage and you don't. And then maybe you're not working out shoulders three times a week like she is, and that type of thing. So your workouts are always gonna be designed around like how you look, how your structure is, what's gonna excel you the best way to bikini. But what's really important is that you don't need to look like either one of them. That's what's important. Cause you look at Ashley like, I wanna look like her. Well, maybe your structure just will never allow that, you know? If Phoebe said, I want to do my workouts to train to look like Ashley, and Ashley said, I want to do my workouts to look like Phoebe, they would both be lower level bikini competitors. It would make them worse. So we want to make them better, so we take what we're missing and we go after that type of thing. One of the cool things about being here is that we get a lot of pro bikini competitors coming in and doing like measurements on like the Steiku scan, and basically it's like 3D scan and we get all their measurements. And so one of the things I think is cool to talk about is the consistencies between them, even though their structures are so different, is you'll find on the middle of the thigh, which is basically like if you put your hand at your side and you stand straight up, I always use my thumb, the bottom of my thumb is like that measuring point. That point of the thigh for Ashley, when we're on like close to stage, is gonna be right around 19 inches. And that's very consistent for someone as petite as her. And for Phoebe, around 20 inches, which is very consistent for someone with her base too. So Phoebe would have, and actually Phoebe doesn't have like a large base or anything. She has like a small medium, and then Ashley just has a petite base, is really like the, like when you look at like the joint structure, if you were to like grab their joints, Phoebe, you know, she's still pretty small. So she's like small, medium, and she's like petite. So it's, so there's 1 inch difference on like the, on the thighs there. And then one of the things that I find consistent when, in terms of ratios, when you look at a bikini pro, is that their glutes, you know, they can range, the glutes can range all over the place. You know, I've seen bikini pros like as high as 37, and I've seen them as low as 30, I want to say like probably 31, as like the width. So that's a huge, and we're talking 7 inches of, 6 inches of glute width. What is consistent is their ratio of their waistline is always about 10 to 12 inches smaller than their glute width. And then their shoulder base is about 14, 15 inches. I've seen 14 to 16 inches bigger than their waistline, right? So it's, these ratios are so consistent with all the top girls. Anytime the top girls come in, I can like look at them before they scan and be like, oh, I can guarantee I know what your ratios are, because it's like the same between all of them. Even though they're all like this much different in between their shoulders and their waist, the ratio is all the same. The hourglass shape, the differences between all of them is always very, very similar. So that's one thing I think you can aspire to do, is just kind of work on your ratios and your balance, whatever your structure is. But you know, every division does have its limiting factors. You know, if you have a really large base, then maybe women's physique or figure is for you. You know, I would say a majority of bikini is small, is petite to medium bases. I don't think there's really a dominant between them, because even if you look at like the Olympia top 10, you probably have like 5 petite and 5 like mediums. It's probably like, if I were to really look at it, it's probably somewhere in that 6'4" or whatever, you know, type of thing. So there, you have a lot of different structures that could do good in bikini, so don't think you need to look like either of them, and just work what's best for you to have the perfect ratios and balance. So guys, I hope you liked watching this episode or listening to this episode. I hope you learned a thing or two. We're always trying to give you the best that we can. Now, if you have any questions at all for anything at all about relating anything we said or about posing, you can reach out to Phoebe. Phoebe, what's your Instagram handle?
Just Phoebe Hagen on Instagram, and you can find me all on the information from there.
Yeah, all in the interwebs. Her name is not spelled how it sounds, though. It's P-H-O-E-B-E. Yes. H-A-G-A-N, because yeah, everyone thinks it's P-H-E. So anyway, yeah. And then if you have any questions about anything regarding training, anything like that, me or Ashley, feel free to welcome, reach out to her. Anything else, Ashley?
We freaking love you guys, Matt. Like, if you're listening to this and you made it all the way through this podcast, God bless.
Yeah,
God bless you guys. We love you so much.
Thanks for
tuning in.
Thank you for spending your time on Lil Olas.
Lil Olas.
And we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks again so much. Bye.